Thank you, Nigel and Emma. Do appreciate your time and efforts. And thank you, guys, because I know you're going on holiday this weekend and you've been working hard to try and get these recordings online for us. So much appreciated. While we're talking about our appreciation, thank you, Church, for your prayers. Thank you for your prayers for me and Susan and my family and my grandchildren in particular. I do appreciate it. Many thanks. We are hoping, Susan and I, to go to France soon and see our two new granddaughters, Arwin and Apolline. I think I've got their names right. We are continuing in this conversation on 1 Corinthians 12, looking at the spiritual gifts. Remember, we gave a short introduction last week into spiritual gifts. Now, we are all gifted. We all have natural abilities. And we're talking about the extension to our natural and the supernatural. There's nothing to be concerned about. The Bible talks about the supernatural all the time. It talks about the heavenly realms. Well, that's a realm that we don't know much about apart from what the revelation of God's word shows us and teaches us. The Bible says that no one knows the time or the hour of God's return. It's only in the Father's hands. So why I say that is because there are certain things that we don't know. But what we do know is what the Bible tells us, what the Bible teaches us. And I know that when we look into spiritual gifts, we can only scratch the surface. But I want to encourage us as a church to scratch the surface, to look underneath the veneer of what we know, to look into God's word, to dig into it, to delve into it for ourselves, to ask the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, ask the Holy Spirit to guide us into these truths. So I want to continue in verse 12, where we went down to We went down to verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And that's where I finished. I want to pick that up by reading just a few more passages. Here we go in verse 8. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Remember, these are spiritualities. These are spiritual gifts. In verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, and to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. I want to just pause there, just as he determines. So when we look at gifts, spiritual gifts, there are many. Not all of them are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 here. There are more, Ephesians 4 and so on. There are gifts that God has given the church. You'll be glad to know that pastors are a gift. I'm a gift to you. You're a gift to me. There are spiritual gifts that God wants to endow us with. And as we come out of this lockdown and we go forward as a church, we need to believe that God's not finished with us yet. Amen? God still has work for us to do. God has called you and I for such a time as this, to stand upon his word, to understand his word, to dissect his word, to rightly use his word, to correctly interpret his word. So I don't profess to know everything, but I want to give you some things that I do believe are truth, and I want you to look into what God says about them for yourself, as I am repeating myself time and time again. But I want to be clear that we want to promote the truth, because when we understand the truth sets us free. Amen? Amen. So let's go back up and we look at what God is saying here. He's talking about spiritual gifts. In verse 12, starting at verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The reason I want to repeat that is it's for the common good. It's for the good of all. It's not so individual people can say, look at me, I am so gifted, you can't function without me. Because we'll go on and Paul teaches about the functionality of the gifts, talks about the body ministry. But for now, let's look at verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the message of wisdom, and to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. So there's a message of wisdom and there's a message of knowledge. It's a spiritual gift through means of the same Spirit. Now, Solomon was given extraordinary wisdom, wasn't he? He had an ability, he had a wisdom about him. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. There are men and women that we come across who are wise, and some of them are wise beyond their years. But it could purely be a human wisdom. God has given us wisdom. He's given us understanding. He's given us discernment. And he's given us knowledge. But these are spiritual gifts that I'm talking about. And when I think about wisdom and I think about knowledge, the easiest way for me to get that across to you is I used to be a paint sprayer when I was younger. I used to spray cars for a living. And I learned my craft from the bottom up. I learned it by understanding the processes that go into mixing paint, the different types of paint, the different strengths of paint, and then learning to apply that paint to a panel, then from a panel to a car. So I had the knowledge of spraying a car. I understood the processes. Now that's knowledge. Now the wisdom was knowing what to do when the knowledge that I had didn't quite go the way that I thought it would. So let me put that into a practical term. I remember spraying a car one day. It was a Jaguar XJ, and I was making a really nice job of this car, and I put the last coat on the top and I soaked it and saw the gloss come to life. And then all of a sudden the fly landed in the middle of the roof. Now I had the knowledge of how to apply that paint, but I needed the wisdom to know what to do when that knowledge that I had didn't quite go to plan. So knowledge is knowing about something. Wisdom is about knowing what to do with that knowledge. I hope that makes sense. So you might have a word of knowledge, for instance. Someone might say something to you, or God might speak into your heart, and you know it's not natural, it's a supernatural thing. The knowledge is, this is what's going to happen. The wisdom is, this is how you put it right. So knowledge and wisdom. There are spiritual gifts. There's a gift of knowledge and there's a gift of wisdom. It's beyond our years. Have you ever been in a meeting or a situation where someone says something to you and you know that it's not natural? You go, wow, what do you mean? And you start to stammer and stutter, and you ask that person to repeat it again because there was a word of knowledge, something that they knew that was so profound, but you knew it was from God. And then they go on to give you wisdom. They say, and the Lord says, I want you to do such and such. And that's happened in my life on numerous occasions, where someone has said something to me and it's been a word of knowledge. It's been something that they know. And it's only from God, because they didn't know it naturally. It was supernaturally given them. And not only did they have the word of knowledge, they had a word of wisdom as well. They could bring an application. The Lord says that he wants to train you by his hand. So there was a word of knowledge given to me many years ago. And it was that Satan wants to sift me. Satan wants to test me. But then the word of wisdom came, but the Lord says he'll train you by his Spirit. He'll train you by his hand. So there was a problem and there was a solution. So wisdom and knowledge, that may not make perfect sense to everyone because you don't think the way that I think, but there is a knowledge and there is a wisdom. And many people, they know about a lot of things, but they don't know what to do with that knowledge. When it comes to spiritual knowledge, God gives you a word, or the Holy Spirit quickens something to you about someone else or a situation. But the Spirit also gives you an answer, also gives you the wisdom to hand on to that individual or that circumstance or that group of people to deal with the problem. So the fly lands on the paint. We know how to put the paint on, but do we know how to deal with the fly? Fortunately, in that instance, I did. I gained the wisdom to know what to do. When it comes to our natural abilities, we can read a manual and we can dissect that manual and we can have a wealth of knowledge about a certain subject. But it's when things don't go according to the manual. Now, I want to use, I won't use names, but there's a man I know who's into electronics, and he was trained by reading and studying and learning, but was also trained by the School of Hard Knocks. He would take things to bits and he would understand how to put them together. And he's a troubleshooter. And this particular man that I know, if you have a problem, he can fix it. He has human knowledge and he has human wisdom. In other words, he knows about his subject, but he also knows how to deal with the subject matter that he knows about, even when it goes wrong. Now, when you put that into spiritual context, it means God doesn't give us problems without giving us answers. He doesn't say, this is going to happen, without giving you a way out. And that's a gift from God. There's a wisdom that we can ask God to endow us with. Lord, help me to see with your eyes. Lord, I don't just want to know about things. I want to know what to do with those things. And when we look at knowledge and we look at prophecy, sometimes we can interact the two. I'll explain my thoughts a little bit later by that. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, we're not talking about the saving faith. Now, we know that's a gift from God. But there is a faith that God gives some people. It's a miracle of faith. It's a spiritual gift that goes above and beyond. Have you ever been in a situation where you know that God has said? You know, there's a passage in Scripture where it says that Paul, and seeing he had faith to believe that he would be healed, he said, get up and walk. And there are times that we can see faith in people, that God gives us a word of knowledge about the faith that we can see. And there's times that we will have that miracle of faith. There's times that the Bible will just purely teach us that we should believe, that we should stand on God's word, and we have a measure of faith. But as I spoke about last week, that dunamis of faith, that dynamite of faith, is a spiritual gift that God gives us. Now, it doesn't mean that there are men and women that have this faith all the time, but it does mean that there will be times in your life and my life that we will dare to believe that God's word is true. We will dare to believe that when he tells us something, because the Holy Spirit has prompted us to do something, no matter what the right or the left tells us to do, we'll keep walking forward. Why? Because we have been given that miracle of faith. We have been given that extra portion of faith for that circumstance and situation. Now, why I say that is this, because in this passage, Paul is saying there is faith that is given that's beyond the saving grace of God, beyond the faith to believe that our Redeemer lives. There's a level of faith that will produce something greater than what we could even imagine of ourselves. And God's going to give us that gift if we ask for it. So there'll be times in these next few weeks, months and years, that if you dare to believe and ask God for that extra portion, he'll give it to you. That there's a circumstance that you're believing for, that if he's asked you to pray for a loved one or a family member or a circumstance or finances or health, that he will give you that miracle of faith. He will give you that dynamis of faith to believe that what he has said to you will come to pass. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances say, you will stand, and you will stand until you see it come to pass. That's the faith that Paul is talking about. By the same Spirit, another, there's a gift of healing by the one Spirit. Now, I have to be careful here when it talks about healing and miracle and speaking in tongues and the rest of it, because I have history in the charismatic movement. I've seen things with my own eyes, and I've heard things which are contrary to God's word, but I've also heard things that are really in line with God's word. So when it comes to healing, do I believe that God can heal supernaturally today? Yes, I do. Do I believe that there are men and women that are healers, that whoever they touch get healed? No, I don't. Do I believe that God uses men and women and people do get healed? Yes, I do. There's not a contradiction. So what I'm saying is that the healer is Christ Jesus. God is the healer. Jesus is the healer. We don't have to go to a man or a woman and ask them to pray for us to receive our healing. We can go directly to the Father, who is the healer. He is our physician, the Bible says. He is our healer. So do I believe that God heals supernaturally today? Yes, I do. Do we see it on a daily basis? No, we don't. Do I believe that God could use me? Yes, I do. Do I believe that God could use you? Yes, I do. If you are sick, would I pray for you? Yes, I will. Would God heal you? Yes, he can. He may not. It may be in eternity. But I do have the faith to believe that God still heals today. I don't believe that there are men and women like Paul when he went around and they took his handkerchiefs and even the sweat that was on his handkerchief would heal someone. I don't believe that there are men and women who are gifted in that way today. But I do believe there are men and women who have the faith to believe that God still heals. So in Jesus' name, be healed. I do believe that. So there is a gift of healing. And God can use somebody at any time. Let me give you an example. I've prayed for many people over the years and they're still as sick as they were when I prayed for them. Doesn't seem very encouraging, does it? But the fact is this, I'm not the healer, Christ is. But I'm the one that God used at that time to pray for someone. It's up to the Spirit of God whether he chooses to manifest in a way that is miraculous or not. It's not down to me, is it? It's not down to what I think. It's about what he's done. But there have been a few occasions where I have prayed for people in Jesus' name and they've been healed. Bernie and Jill, you'll remember this. There's a young girl, Lily May, I believe her name was, and she came to us as a church and she had two weeks to live. And we was asked if we would do a dedication, a christening, and on that christening service I had the opportunity to ask permission to pray for this child to receive healing. Remember, the doctor said there's nothing we can do, she will be gone within 2 weeks or so. And really it was a meeting to say goodbye, friends and family gathered together. That child is probably 6 now. She's alive and she's well. Why? Because God healed her. Does it mean that I have the gift of healing? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that the healer healed her? Yes, it does. So there will be times where God will give you the faith, that supernatural faith, to believe in healing. And that was one of those times. There's another time where a lady was brought into church, one Christmas carol service, and she was told that she was going to die of cancer and there's nothing that could be done. And I just felt overwhelmed at that particular time to hold her hand and just to look at her and just to say, cancer be dissolved in Jesus' name. And the cancer was dissolved. She was given the all clear. Does that mean that I'm a healer? No. Does it mean that Jesus is a healer? Yes. So this gift of healing can come upon you at any time. It's usually foreshadowed by that gift of faith. That faith that will dare to believe that God's word is true. So when we look at spiritual gifts, I don't want us to be deluded. I don't want us to be hoodwinked. I don't want you to think that I class myself as a healer, because I'm not, because there's only one healer and that's Jesus Christ. But I do want to use this passage to say that there is a supernatural wisdom, a supernatural knowledge, supernatural faith, and there are gifts of healing for certain people for certain times, but God chooses when and where. Does that make sense? And I'm pretty sure that most of you, if you were sick, you would pray for healing. So we do believe in healing, don't we? We should pray for the sick. We should believe that God will restore us. We should believe that the best is now as well as in eternity. Goes on in verse 10, to another miraculous powers. Now the miraculous Just like the healing, that's miraculous. Miraculous powers is not the natural, but the supernatural. So when you go to a doctor or a surgeon and he removes a tumor, that is a natural process. When you go to God and you pray and the tumor disappears, that's a supernatural process. Yes, that's a miracle. And there are times that we witness in our lives miracle power, something that can only be God. That's what we're talking about here. Now, can God use you? Yes, he can. Can he use me? Yes, he can. Church, Grace Community Church, regardless to how long you've been a Christian, how old or young you are, can God use you? Yes, he can. Will God use him? He probably will. Use you? He probably will. So God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. There are times in our life, going back to the wisdom and the knowledge, that God will reveal something to us so that we can see someone set free from a particular problem. He'll give us knowledge. He'll give us a word of knowledge, insight, and he'll give us the wisdom in how to answer that person when they ask the question. If that's what God has said, what do I do? If that's what God said, what do I do? Knowledge and wisdom. So can't pronounce the name right, but he had leprosy. So he had the knowledge of what he had, and the wisdom was go and dip yourself seven times. That's the wisdom. So God will give us both. He will also give us opportunities to see the gift of healing in operation, and we also will be given the opportunity to see the miraculous at work. To another prophecy, and prophecy and knowledge, I want to just spend a couple of minutes on this, because it's down to the word, isn't it? When we look at the prophet, the Old Testament prophet, he was a direct mouthpiece from God. So God would speak to his prophet on earth, and he would then speak to God's people. Thus saith the Lord. And the Messiah is coming. There would be a prophesying of what's to come. A forthtelling. A telling of the future. We don't have those prophets anymore. Because we don't need those prophets anymore. Because that prophecy that was prophesied in the Old Testament has come to pass through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. I was sent to bind up the broken hearts, to set the captives free, to declare the year of the favour of the Lord, the vengeance of our God. It's been fulfilled. So Jesus is the fulfilment. The vengeance bit is to come. But it was spoken out by God's prophets. So we don't have those kind of prophets today. But when we go through church life, and it has happened to me, and I have been influenced by prophecy or a word of knowledge, should I say, because that's how I would prefer to use that word, rather than prophecy, which is forthtelling, a word of knowledge where God reveals something to somebody about a situation or a person. That's a word of knowledge. And I remember being in a meeting, a large gathering in a church, and there was lots of things going on within the spiritual realm, and I was excited about it, and I just wanted more of God, and yet I didn't fully understand. And in this particular church meeting, the man at the hour, the man who people believed God was using for that day, was praying for people. And he was praying systematically down a row. And when he got to me, he walked past me and he went on to the next person. And so me being me, in my mind, I didn't say this out loud so no one could hear me. I just said, God, why are you passing me by? And a man who's in our church today came up to me and he just said, God says he's not passing you by. How did you know that? I said that in my heart. But God knew, didn't he? So that was a word of knowledge. But that man went on to say at that same meeting, how deep do you want the foundation? No, how strong do you want the building? Well, strong. Well, the foundations have to be dug deep. So there was a word of knowledge. God is not passing you by. Only the Spirit of God knew that. What's in a man's heart? What's in a man's spirit is only known by the man's spirit unless it's known by the Holy Spirit. Yes. So God gave this man a word of knowledge for me. He revealed something about me. And then he gave the wisdom. Because God says he's not passing you by. However, he's going to be doing a deep work within you. So do I believe in the spiritual gifts? Yes, I do. And maybe you've experienced this as well. And the tragedy of church life is this. Many of those gifts have been abused. Sometimes by well-meaning Christian men and women. They just have a desire to please God. And they use words like, God says, and then it doesn't happen. The Lord says, and I've been in meetings where a prophet, a so-called prophet has come. And he's spoken to, he asked three men to stand up. And he said, you, and you, God. One of them wasn't even saved, wasn't even a Christian. Another one, you're going to do mighty works in the area of young people in sports. Just because she had a tracksuit on, she wasn't into sports. She was into carpentry. So there are times that those gifts are abused. So what happens is we switch off to them. We say, no, I can't be doing with it because there's so many counterfeits. Well, that's what the enemy does. That's why God's word is a lamp unto our feet. That's why as we look at what his word says, it should illuminate things to us. So I want to say to you, don't dismiss God's spiritual gifts. Will he love you if you do? Yes. Can you function in a greater way if you allow him to use you? Yes. Because he can take your natural and he can make it supernatural. So you can go above and beyond your own ability. It goes on to another distinguishing between spirits. And we spoke about that some weeks ago. And there's lots that the Bible says about how to tell the difference between the truth and a lie. How to tell the difference between a lying spirit and God's spirit. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, this one about tongues is probably the most controversial gift in the Bible. Speaking in tongues. There are some people who have been told that if you don't speak in tongues, you're a second-class citizen, you're not even born again. That you can't be a Christian because speaking in tongues is the evidence that follows the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The actual word for tongues here, when you look at the original, and I do my research, it means languages. So let me say that again. To another, speaking in different kinds of languages. There are some people who are gifted linguists, aren't they? They can speak multiple languages. Susan is learning French at the moment. I struggle with English. My second language is Norfolk. That's about the two languages that I know. But there are some people that will speak a half a dozen different languages. They've been given a natural gift of languages. But this one here, we're talking about spiritual gifts. There are people that are given the ability to speak in a language that they've not been taught. So when you look at the day of Pentecost, Acts, it says, and they all heard them speaking in their own language. So that means that they were speaking multiple languages at the same time. And people who understood that particular language understood what they were saying, even though if someone was speaking Greek and they were a Jew, how come they could speak, understand what they were saying? Because they were speaking in their own tongue. The tongue of the hearer, not the tongue of the person speaking. So, for instance, if I start to speak in German, it wouldn't be because I have German blood in me. It would be because God has gifted me to speak in German for that time. And we talk about interpretation. There are people who can interpret what God has said in that particular tongue. Now, when we look at languages, there are three types of language that the Bible talks about. One, there's our natural language, so I'm speaking in English. Two, there's the non-native language. So, in other words, if I was to speak in German, it wouldn't be my first tongue. So, we can speak in our natural language, which all those that understand English would understand. Then you have a supernatural language. If I started to speak in German, all those that were German would understand it, but it's still a language. Then there's a heavenly language, which it says talks about the language of angels, which only God knows. All of these languages, when they're done in the spirit, when they're spiritually led, are going in one direction, and that's up in praise. So Paul is addressing this purely because of the frenzy of tongues, the frenzy of people wanting to speak all these different languages. He says, you know, you all come together and you all want to say this and you all want to prophesy that and you all want to bring these words. And he's trying to bring some order into the church here. He's saying, it's no good if you speak 10,000 words in a tongue and no one can say amen. I want you to speak intelligibly. I want you to be in an order. So when we think about tongues, and I want to take the last few minutes just addressing tongues, and we'll go on to it in a later study, maybe in depth. Because I believe it's been really tragically misused and abused over the years, this tongues. God does give the supernatural gift of speaking in a different language to different people. Do we all speak in tongues? No. Do we all prophesy? No. Do we all see healings? No. Do we all see the miraculous powers? No. Are we all given a supernatural impartation of faith? No. Are we all given spiritual wisdom and spiritual discernment? No. Are we all given spiritual knowledge? No. But some of us are given some of the gifts, some of the time, just as God determines. So what I want you to ask the Lord is to reveal to you the gift that he's endowed you with. Because the Bible does tell us this truth, that all have been gifted. So I want you to ask God. Also, the Bible gives us the right to pray for spiritual gifts. So if there's an operation, if you want to see a supernatural wisdom move in your life, you have been given the permission to pray for that. Lord, would you give me that wisdom? Now, when he does give you that wisdom, it's for the common good. It's not to glorify you, it's to glorify him. When he gives you that ability to pray for the sick and you see some people healed, that's not so that you can be glorified, it's so that he can be glorified. So with the tongues, there are people who will speak in a spiritual language that they don't understand, but God does. If God has endowed you with that language, it's to edify you. It's not for you to disrupt the church service. Paul makes that very clear. And this is why he's addressing spiritual gifts. He's saying, listen, there's more than just speaking in a different language. You may be English and God endows you with the language of French, but we don't want you speaking French in an English-speaking church because no one can say amen to your prayer. Paul is very clear about this. So I want you to look at, just put into your search engine, tongues in the Bible. And you will see there are three languages. There's your natural language, there's your supernatural language in the sense that God will give you an utterance which is of a language that someone else will understand. And there's a language that is a heavenly language that only the angelic understand. Only God and his spirit will understand that language. But it's all going upwards. I know it's a bitty message, this one. I know that. And it's hard for me to get across fully what's in my heart. But the purpose of bringing today's message is to say that there are spiritual gifts that God has given his church. Let's not be a people that will just push them to one side. Let's re-examine them. So when you think about prophecy, for instance, I believe there are no Old Testament prophets anymore. There are no people foretelling the future in the sense that what God is going to do, because God has already said what he's going to do. Do I believe that there are times where people bring knowledge, that God has quickened something to them and they've spoken out and it's been not of them, but it's been of the Spirit? Yes, I do. I do believe there's times that someone like you, yes, you will say something to someone else and they'll go, how did you know that? And you're not even aware of what you said. God has gifted you with some knowledge. Pray for wisdom to interpret that knowledge. So when God reveals something to you, there's a lady who God had gifted in the area of knowledge, and she had been a victim of multiple abuses, and God really blessed her. And she was swimming one day, and she saw a lady, and God had revealed to her that this lady was about to meet her lover. She was married, and she was about to have an affair. And God had given her this knowledge. Now, she could have done one of two things. She could have, A, gone up to that woman and said, God has just revealed to me that you're about to commit adultery, you sinner. Repent. But she didn't, because she also asked God to give her wisdom. God had given her the knowledge, but also the wisdom. So she went up to that woman and she said, you don't know me, but my name is Rhona May. And I'm at a meeting later on this evening. I'm a Christian and I'm going to be speaking about God's love. I'd love you to come. She did. She did go to that meeting. Rhona May didn't pray over her. She didn't ask her to repent. She just prayed that God would reveal his love to her. And when the love of God fell upon her, she stopped, she repented, she turned to the Lord, and she went home to her husband. You see, when God gives someone knowledge, it's not to destroy, it's to build up. So I'm going to finish this session and bring the next session, obviously, next week. But just to simply say, these are gifts. Read through them. They are spiritual gifts. There are people who see miracles today. There are people who see healing today. There are people who can understand how to distinguish between the good and the evil in life, discerning of the spirits. There are people who speak in different languages. There are those that have the interpretation. They're gifts from God, and God distributes them to each one just as he determines. So God has determined that you would be blessed. That's why he's given us the opportunity to act in the natural and the supernatural. Can we say amen to that? Lord, today, Father God, would you open my eyes and unstop my ears to see and to hear what you have to say to me. Lord, show me not just my natural ability, but the supernatural abilities that you've endowed me with. Lord, I want to see your kingdom come, and I want to see your kingdom grow. I want to delve into your word so that you can reveal more of your truth to me on the subjects of spiritual gifts. That, Father God, that I may not reject your word, but embrace your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.